Jarrett Cliff. Oh, he's a man among men. He's awfully handsome, he's a 10 out of 10. He's smart and he's clever and he'll never ever quit. All you lefty commie assholes, he's not taking your shit. He's got excellent stories, he's got excellent jokes. He'll put you in your place if you are blue-haired and woke. He's physically strong and he is mentally stable, and he knows his way around the periodic table. Oh, Gareth, he's a heck of a guy. He's a man among men, and I am telling you why. All you climate alarmists, kiss your asses goodbye, 'cause Gareth Cliff will fucking punch you in the eye. Ugly architecture, not a chance in hell. Bad grammar and bad manners can get fucked as well. Gareth Cliff is very handsome, and I'm sure you can tell that he's a patriotic lover of South Africa as well. Taxation, fuck all of that noise. Oh, Gareth, he's just one of the boys. Corruption, fuck that bullshit too, because Gareth Cliff is coming for you. He's well spoken and he's got perfect hair. His jawline
goes on and on and on. But Gord, very proud of himself for this, so I thought we'd play it this morning.
It's very well done. Great.
It's very well done.
Great theme tune.
Another thing that is well done is Roger Rax. He's a South African content creator. He's a dad. He's a business promoter. He uses his platform to inspire, entertain, and connect with people all over the country. He's known for all kinds of lifestyle content, which is like a broad category, but the guy's doing some awesome work. And motivational stuff as well. He is using his real-life experiences to help other people, uplift them, all the rest of it. And I actually stumbled on your stuff because I was looking for instantly recognizable South African accents. And yours is as south as they come, my bro.
I represent the south, my brother.
You do, 100%. Right? Look at you.
100%.
Very good to have you here.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So listen, people are always talking about how they want authenticity, they want real people, and this is the kind of thing that you're doing, and you're doing it without even trying because you're just being you.
100%. I believe you just pick up the phone and you talk. Everything can be content.
Right.
Everything can be content.
Clearly.
And I mean, checkers, do some shopping, turn that into content.
And you're doing stuff like the clip that we used the other day was you talking about this shop that sells stuff for 14 Rand. But this is great. Because people need, who wants to spend fucking too much money, right?
Exactly,
and everything's expensive now.
And that video's doing very well. I think on Instagram it's reaching around 250,000.
Is the shop thankful?
Very thankful. They've DM'd me to come back and pay them a visit and whatnot. Also Facebook, almost about 100,000. TikTok, about 120,000.
Phenomenal.
So it's good. It's good reach, if you know what I mean.
But these they should be paying you. You're like the mayor of the South.
Well, that's actually what I've done. I've started my own little business called Raxvertise.
There we go.
Yeah, and in that business, that's exactly what I do. So I started out by helping small businesses free of charge. I would go myself to all these little places and advertise for them and blow them up. And then eventually I said to myself, I can actually turn this into a business.
It's amazing.
Because it's been tried, it's been proven, and the results are there.
Yeah.
You know, and so now
tell us about you. I mean, you're obviously born in the South.
Yes.
Right?
Born and bred, South African Lebanese.
Lebanese.
Okay. 100%.
All right.
That's where the term gay comes from.
Yeah, I know what a gay is.
You know. Yeah. 100%.
Of course. So, Lebanese from the south. Mm. Where in the south are you?
Joburg south at the moment, Lefty and Freda. Okay. Barton area, but I grew up in the streets of Turfentine.
Oh, wow.
Which now is scary.
Yeah, you don't want
to
go there.
Is that how Turfentine is referred to, the streets of Turfentine? Because normally people just give the neighborhood.
Yeah,
they don't normally preface it with the streets.
But Turfentine now is dangerous, right?
It's very dangerous. Like driving through there, you can see it's still what it used to be, but everything's changed, bro. Everything, like places that you have good memories of and whatnot, no longer exist there. As a lighty, my grandfather used to own a, I don't know if I can say this, and he used to own like a Shabin back in the day called Midnight Cafe.
Yeah.
And as a lighty, I used to skateboard in the streets till 2 a.m. in the morning outside, bro. Try and walk out there at 8 o'clock in the night and see what happens to you these days.
No, you won't make it.
Exactly. So that's
like Rosettenville also.
Exactly. Jesus, so that's Turfentine for you.
Then you moved to Malbarton. And now you're a dad. You got kids?
I got one child.
Okay. Boy or girl?
That's a girl. Her name's Ava.
Okay.
The love of my life.
Yeah.
And I had a stepson. Well, I still talk to him every now and again, look after him from a distance. But
That's it.
My daughter's my number one priority.
That's amazing, man.
Thank you.
So what is the day-to-day job? Because, content creation for most people is a hobby. Let's be honest. It's it doesn't earn you enough money to pay the bills, and everybody needs to do more than one job in South Africa at the moment. So what do you do from
Monday to Saturday, I work a normal job at a company called Harper Paint. Harper Paint is a family-orientated business, and they really are the best of the best, if you know what I mean. So I've been there since Alati as well. They've looked after me. They've raised me into the person I am today.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to leave them, even if this thing takes off.
So if you became like a massive, massive YouTube sensation and suddenly that could pay for everything, you still wouldn't leave your normal job?
I wouldn't want to leave, brother. But obviously, like, if time would become an issue, then I might have to.
Yeah, but maybe
they're my family.
Then you can negotiate. You talk down like 3 days a week or whatever.
Something like that, yeah.
Sure.
But all right, I love working there.
What do you do there?
I'm a salesman at Harper Paint.
Okay.
Been there for
quite a bit. Well, I mean, give us the sales pitch. Like, tell me why I must go to Harper Paint rather than one of the other places.
Because we give the best prices, best customer service. While you're waiting there, you grab yourself a coffee or a Coke. There's literally a coffee shop across the road called PS Coffee.
Yeah.
Very lacquer coffee. You go there, you grab yourself a coffee while you wait for your paint. We mix any color.
Love it.
We mix any color you want, 15 minutes or less.
How do you oaks get that right?
Well, it's all our matching and whatnot. So they'll give you, you bring a sample into the store and then we'll match it according to your sample.
You know, I've got like this rooms in my house that I painted 10, 11 years ago, okay? And I then can't find the old tin of paint. By then, that it doesn't even look like paint anymore. It's all separated out.
You would need to find the closest the closest you can get to that specific color.
Right.
Bring us a little chip off the wall, like maybe the size of a credit card. Bring it into the store, 15 minutes, you got your color.
Wow.
And the best possible price you can find.
And you have those machines that do the mixing and everything?
Mix it, shake it up, you name it, you'll be very happy.
It's actually quite an involved thing. And then you obviously have to know not just colors, but you have to know what kind of paint you're dealing with.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, 100%.
Right?
It's not just about the paint, 100%.
No, this is good.
Thank you.
And business is good?
Very good at the moment, yeah. But we know we're trying. Obviously, like we're trying to get more out there. We got about seven branches around, and yeah, so we're growing also, which is also very good.
Okay, and when did you decide you were going to do this social media stuff, creation?
It's a bit of a dark story, brother. So
it's in the south. It's got to be.
Yeah. So I had a fallout with my ex. I don't want to bring up her name or anything.
Fuck her.
Shame, she's the mother of my child, so I really do care. Anyways, I had a fallout with her, and I felt so depressed, bro. Like, when she left, everything just fell apart. My mother landed up in hospital, and I went through. I actually felt what rock bottom feels like. And then I started playing with around the TikTok a bit, and then the one day, Donald Trump said, and this was just for fun, by the way.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said, all South Africans can come to America now.
Yeah,
so
I
pulled out my phone and I made a TikTok. I said, okay, got to be Afrikaans, and I'm learning Afrikaans words. I want to go to America. And that thing blew up. It got like 200,000 views. And people were DMing me and messaging me. And I said, what's going on here? So I thought it was...
This was last year?
No, I think it was the end of last, like December time.
But this is amazing. So this just, again, proves for anybody who's sitting there thinking, you need to have been doing this for 10 years.
Not at all.
You just started there look at you.
And then the very next video, because I thought maybe it was just the luck, you know, the luck of the draw. I went to Checkers, I spent 1,000. I said, okay, this is what you can get for 1,000 in a Checkers.
Yeah.
400,000 views. Then I went to Econo Foods, 800,000 views. And that's it. I became a content creator.
I love this because this is practical, useful information for people. I mean, Ben has never forgotten that you can get a 14 Rand pie.
Never will.
But what do I say right? How do I say the word pie wrong?
No, you don't. You say it right. Nobody's right or wrong. This is the point. And
the accent.
In South Africa, you've got people who say things and we go, But I understand you.
Yeah.
I get it. We used to have someone called Michaela here in the office, and she's also from the south. I mean, people would look at her sometimes when she'd talk and they would be confused.
100%. And like, I don't know, while I was waiting for you guys
to finish. She made up words. I mean, she did. She also talked a lot of cuck.
We do, brother. That's how the south is. You know, brother, the south, you have to survive that place. I'm telling you, brother. You just grow up differently there. Just
because
it's the Hunger Games.
You were going to say you were sitting here now?
While I was sitting there waiting for you guys to finish up your story, and I was listening to you guys talk, I said, how do I match this? I'm in the UK at the moment with English people talking.
But look at us. Look at us having a conversation.
Very lucky, yeah.
So what do you do in the south for fun?
It's all.
Yeah, but where?
Sundowners. I like Sundowners.
What happens there? Drinking?
It's a nightclub. Yeah, you go out, you party, you drink. I know the owners very well because I did about two or three videos for Ryan. So I go there. I'm treated very well there.
Well, you know everyone in the South.
At the moment, yeah, exactly.
You're
so
the
when
guy.
I come, I do Jolene Santon now and again at Greenhouse Bar and what.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'll be honest, not my vibe.
Yeah.
It's too, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it's too prim and proper, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? It's too prim and proper.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's Ben's complaint as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Same thing.
I like the fact that when you go to Sundowners, everyone there's like you. So if you're not dressed to perfection, no one's going to say, look at this oak, you know what I mean?
Right.
Santon, everyone has to wear Nike and, you know, necklaces and gold and diamonds. And
what a lot of shit.
Yeah, I'm there to draw. I want to go out and have a good time. I don't want to worry about how I'm looking now and what I'm, you know. So, yeah, for me, the South will always be the South, brother. That's literally what I do. I represent the South.
In Joburg, and I know you're biased about this, but in Joburg, do you think there are more beautiful women in the West Rand, East Rand, South, or in Santon?
Be honest. Yeah, well, it depends on...
I mean, you've got an eye for this.
Yeah, but it depends on what you mean by beautiful, because Santon can be beautiful, but if they're a snob, it changes...
They look at how much you got in your wallet and your car keys.
The question's from Gareth, so he's talking pure materialistic, superficial...
Superficial, just pretty.
What meets the eye?
We're the prettiest ones, because you've been around town.
Yeah, no, I think this area...
Really?
Yeah, I just...
Santon, huh?
The reason I say that is because I think
Santon.
Believe it or not, I think they look after themselves a lot better. That's what makes, you know.
You reckon?
I think so, bro. It's just my two cents.
What are the chicks in the South?
No, they're perfect. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But I mean, they just have their own way about things. But
you keep touching your beard. We talk about chicks in the South.
No, he did it. That's why I'm worried. It's not a problem there, is it?
No problem. Okay. Oh, why do you have a South chick?
No, I did for a while.
Is it?
Alberton.
Alberton's the best. That's where the hottest chicks are.
Yeah.
I have about 9 exes from Alberton. That's why I do most of my reviews there. I know everything like the back of my hand.
Clearly. See, you're the man to know.
Tell us, I suppose.
For people who've never been to the South, Roger, and I can't understand why anyone wouldn't, because it's right here. If you're in Joburg, if you're in Gauteng, there's no reason not to visit the South. But maybe people think there aren't really tourist attractions. There aren't things to do. Maybe they've heard some bullshit story about the South. Why should we visit the South? Tell us why your neighborhood's lekker, what kind of people you'd meet there, where you should go.
So, brother, I wouldn't say that there's too many tourist attractions, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be honest. I mean, there are. Yeah, like the casinos, like Gold Beach City.
Sure, okay, it's a place to start.
The theme parks. I mean, there's no palaces, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I would go...
There's some big houses in Glen Vista.
I would go down to the South purely just to experience what life is like there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I spend time with someone there and see what it's like.
Yeah.
It's completely different to the South, I think.
And I think it's completely different. And what's your favorite place to eat there?
Yes, there's a lot, brother. What type of food?
No, you tell me.
Well, I'm a Lebanese, brother, so my favorite food, we got something called kibbeh.
Yeah?
So it's raw lamb.
Right.
That we eat. That's You Bet Sports Bar. They make lekker kibbeh.
Right.
There's also, how can I miss this word, JD's Kitchen.
Yeah?
JD's Kitchen, also very lekker food.
All right.
So, yeah, there's plenty, brother. You want shawarmas, you go to the shawarma guy, the rap shack.
Right.
I can tell you for days.
Okay, what's
That's
your,
actually what? Why I'm starting my diet, because I can tell you for days.
Okay, yeah. You know? Well, no, listen.
I somehow became a food reviewer.
I trust people who talk about food and they're not slim and trim. That's why I can't trust
100%.
100%. That's because he's always cycling or doing something monumental.
can't trust it.
But next year, if I come back, I'm going to be a whole different person, brother.
Okay, well, you're always welcome.
The journey.
Listen, the point is, I found out about you. Now I'm invested. I'm following your stuff.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
And I want to hear more. So you're always welcome back here.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's very lucky to have you here.
Thank you.
What do you drink when you go out tonight, for example?
Whiskey. I like whiskey on the rocks. Johnny Black on the rocks. Just with ice. Pure.
All right.
Very lekker.
Very good.
And my normal drinks is Coke, but I have to stop that, unfortunately. Coke and Grandpa. Best combination in the world.
Really? For what?
Before Joel tried one.
Oh, really? Coke and Grandpa?
Coca-Cola, Grandpa. You just put the Grandpa, eat the Coke, and then people just wonder how you're surviving.
And you can handle a lot after that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I had one right before I came in.
Holy shit.
That's
okay.
Why I'm
first
so chilled.
Thing in the morning. Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. Are you usually not chilled?
No, I'm chilled. But I mean, this is new to me, so it's the first time I've done something like this.
So someone said to me, in the South, people like a fight, a roll. Yeah. Does it happen?
Very often.
Yeah.
Depends on the place, sir. So Sundowners does have a bit of a history. So does Tin Cup.
Tin Cup?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. All right, tell me about Tin Cup.
Tin Cup's lekker, actually. It's at Rietvlei, they call it Rietvlei Zoo, Farm Zoo, whatever they call it.
All right.
So during the day, it's lekker for kids and family members. during the night, it's a draw.
We'll have to learn young to fight.
Yeah, so anyways, they've got that. And then Sundown is obviously, I think, the best of the best. But don't get on the Oaks wrong side, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're going to smash you up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, what's the other one I was thinking about now? The rugby club. Definitely stay away, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've heard only bad things. They've phoned me about 10 times to go and do a review there. I'm too nervous.
Really?
Because of the stories.
You nervous? Because you've got mates there.
100%. 100%. But I'm gonna go eat something and not get knocked out. Right. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Who wants that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Who are your mates? Like, shout out your mates here. Let's
shout out mates.
Yeah. Who do you want to say how's it to? I mean.
Well, first of all, I can shout out DJ Legacy. Okay. He actually asked me to for my name, Roger Rex.
Okay.
He gave
you the name?
Well, yeah, he ran it by me because when I was a bit younger, I was trying to be a rapper. I was actually a rapper.
Yeah?
And yeah, true story. I was rapping for News Cafe, Mayor's Dahl, Scarlet Ribbon, yeah, and Santon. There's a few places, wow, I would rap at.
Okay.
He gave me that name. Shout out to the Peters from Hyper Paint.
There we go.
Those are my family. Yeah. And shout out to my beautiful daughter, I suppose. Eh?
There we go.
And if I forgot anyone else, I'm sorry. She's 4.5.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well,
4.5.
You know what? I'm very, very happy to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I love the advice about the grandpa and Coke. Yeah. I will remember that, Ben.
Just don't try it. Rather don't try it. It gets very addictive, brother.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm struggling to get off of it, I'll be honest.
But what is grandpa anyway?
It's a headache powder.
Headache powder.
But like, what?
It's a bit of a powder, Bruce. So like,
No, I've just never taken grandpa. I just always thought it was basically asbestos.
No, so grandpa, it's immediate satisfaction.
Really?
From whatever you got, it's immediate.
Really?
Media. So,
yes, it's toothache. Okay. You're teaching me shit here.
Toothache, knee ache, back ache, ball ache, whatever it might be. Just pop a grandpa.
Hell.
And a Coke, because the Coke speeds up the healing. Caffeine. You know what I mean? So, there you go.
I love
this. I'm a bad influence. Sorry, guys.
Carl says, Roger, I'm half Leb, half Pora, from the south, grew up on the hill, within spitting distance of Turfantine. What do you think of us Poras?
I think the Lebs and Porters had a bad history in the past, but now they're marrying each other, so I think we're good,
brother.
So
it's getting better. I mean, Carl...
Where do I look if I want to look directly in the camera?
No, well, that one's fine. So Carl says, yeah, look right at him, because you've got to look him in the eyes. He says he's half Leb and half Porter.
100%, Carl. So I think we're mates now, brother. We should go for a few drinks. Right,
that's good. That's very good. I love this real guy, says Wendy. Biggest milestone today. Hope today explodes your number of followers. Well, so do I.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Wendy. I really hope so too.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
That's excellent. Can you mix any color with your accent, says Yonder.
What does that mean?
Well, maybe if you put your accent into the paint, it sweetens it.
Yeah, makes it better. I think the question is, if you were to put a color from Hyper Paints that would match your accent, what would the color be?
Yeah.
Would it be like
Because we
yellow,
are trying to do this thing about accents in
would
the
it
country.
Be a red?
Well, it depends. According to me, it would be sparkling white. Because I feel like my accent's beautiful.
Yeah.
But according to others, Autumns. I watched your video. I loved it, by the way. Yeah. They're probably dark brown.
Okay,
dark brown.
Let's stick with sparkly white.
Dark brown glossy
I think we
enamel.
Stick with sparkling white.
Shimmering white is the answer.
I like that.
Do I sound as bad in person?
No, you sound fat. Dude, it's not about who sounds so good or bad. Mm. We're celebrating all the accents in this country. And how can we do that without 100%. Giving the South its credit?
Definitely.
Right? And just so people know, you say the South.
Yeah.
Right?
Not the South.
No, the South.
The South.
Right. Did I do that right?
Yeah. The South of Johannesburg.
There we go. Thank you, my brother. What a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, my chai.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Can I leave?
To see you. Yeah, well, if you want.
Sweet. What do I do with this?
Just push it aside a bit.
James, come and help our guest out here. What's wrong with you? Yeah, they're awesome to see you, my bro. Thank you so much. All right, well, there we go. Some deep South stories. Thank you, Butch. Lovely to see you. Very good. I love that. And Carl, don't worry.
Roger, wait, sorry. I got one more question, Roger. Are you selling those shirts? Is that a merch line?
Can we get those shirts? Because that looks... Stay blessed with the best and don't be a pest.
Is that a merch line you started?
It's a great merch line.
We've been out for quite a while, in fact.
Can we buy it from your channels?
Yeah, so on Instagram, you'll find it on Instagram.
All right. There we go. Man. What a guy, huh?
Thank you, my brother.
Isn't that awesome? What a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, that's terrific. So, Ben, have you learned now?
Sundowners. 7 o'clock tonight. Let's do it.
Sundowners, Grandpa and Coke, and don't go to the rugby club.
Yeah, I think that's all pretty good advice, huh?
And I mean, I learned a fortune out of this. This is exactly why we needed to get him in here. Excellent. All right. Hubba says Vic Tawil from the South. Now the Tawils are a very famous family in the South. Love Roger Rax, authentic and real, says Ryan, which relates to more than half of South Africa. Yeah, well, okay, if you say so. Tracy says dark brown, or as the people in advertising would say, mocha. Wasn't this the color of the year last year? See, the man knows his stuff. Very, very good. All right, I love this. Thank you very much, Roger Rax. Big fan, huge amounts of fan content here. People are following him. And you got to get on his social media channels.
If you want to be decent, like on the up in social media, you got to have a definite character about yourself.
Yes,
there is no other Roger Rax. I know there's also Oaks in the South.
Yeah,
but that Oak is like
he's the real deal.
He's such a good Oak.
See, I love when you meet people, and I said that's why I introduced it. He's authentic. He's who he is. He's a real guy, and you know, brands and marketing people are always trying to be real. And the way you get real is you ask a guy like that to talk about your 14 Rand pies. That's going to go further and do more for you than a television ad, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, brands always try to play it safe because they've got a lot at stake. And I totally appreciate that, especially like the multinational ones. But if you want to do something on social media, those are the people, you're right. He is that guy.
Okay. So I mentioned the Gord Laws song earlier. We played a little bit of that for you. But Gord also, as you know, is very interested in prehistoric animals. And this story came up this week, which I also think I'd like to hear Ben's thoughts on, because this is an actual animal that existed. I think it was in the Ice Age, but it was called Tartarus. Here it is. Orthrus Tartarus, the god dog of Tartarus. This extinct predator, kin to mongooses, towered over humans. You could see the little human on the side there. Now, that is a hell of an animal.
Holy shit, that's like a Staphylosaurus.
So, the funny thing is, and the reason I bring Gord up here, is he's fascinated by these animals, and he reckons if those were still around today, there'd be some guy who insists on taking that animal to the park, even though it threatens violence and often perpetrates violence.
Did they find the original skeletons of this in the South?
I think it might have been in Joburg, who knows? But that is a hell of an animal, right? And you know the pit bull enthusiasts would be the first in line to get one of those. And they'd say, it's not the dog, it's the way it's raised.
Yeah. No, it's your Tartarosaurus that just fucking ate the head off my elephant. Jeepers, what a fucking...
That's a pretty scary looking animal.
On the plane last night, I was watching Walking with Dinosaurs and how it's made.
Oh, yeah?
Fuck, amazing hair. And then these air hostesses were nattering about their boyfriends to the point that I couldn't actually enjoy the show.
Oh, no.
Nattering so hard about them.
What, did you pick up anything useful or interesting?
No, I think air hostesses have the worst lives.
Why?
How shit it is, because from what I picked up the conversation...
I heard they go to hotels, they stay in a town for a night or two, they have, you know, meaningless, unattached sex.
Well, that's what I was kind of getting at, Gareth.
Usually like, with the pilots, who knows?
It's I didn't have a choice. I was in this conversation whether I liked it or not, right? I was in the emergency seat, the bulkhead thing. They were sitting in front, like,
oh, you were in the galley.
So basically, they made the galley my lap. So I had no choice. I was trying to watch Walking with Dinosaurs and this whole story.
All right. Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, like, a lot of the time, they just have these one-night layovers, right? And they're peddling drinks to fucking people who are mostly farting or sleeping the whole day. It's not glamorous. And then you go through X-ray machines, your circadian
rhythms. They're all screwed up.
Completely fucked because you're on UV lights. You never have a sleep pattern.
Right.
You're constantly tired. So one chick was falling asleep.
And they have to look good.
So you constantly got all the makeup on.
You know, you can't have a bad day.
No. And then it's great to be able to go, oh, yeah, like, you know, in Barcelona this week. And then I'm in. Okay, cool.
Hard life.
But, like, it's air conditioning the whole time.
Yeah.
You're eating whatever's come out of the hot draw.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's
tough work.
I mean, I'm not sure.
And
I mean,
the worst part of it is they also have to clean those toilets.
Yeah.
You know, people...
You're wrong. Jick and all kinds
you
of things.
Forget, but also some people make a terrible mess in there.
I always go out of my way to be very simple on a plane, take up no space,
right.
Make no noise.
Try not even to have to use the loo if you possibly can.
Possibly can.
Right.
Say please, thank you, and yes, don't ask for too much because their jobs are crap. And it really hits home having to now... intimately hear what these people's lives are.
And they talk just nonsense?
Well, when you're girls together, they always talk a lot more. You're guys together, they build shit and, I don't know, invade Lesotho.
They hardly talk.
Girls talk.
Yeah, nonsense all the time.
I had my headphones on, noise-cancellating headphones on, and I heard every part of this conversation. I look up and I'm like, Like, what do I do? Like, do I tell them to shut up? No, I can't. Okay? Because I'm also at that age now where I'm becoming middle-aged-ish, so it's not cute if I say something like that to them. But I'm not old enough that I can get away with it. It was an experience.
Vyasan says they don't have any steady relationships because of the turbulence. That's probably a good point. Layover, cockpit, these are all words that they have to use, says Steve. Kian says, hi, Gareth. Hello, Kian. And then Max Sony says, bonking galore, not so, And do tell what the issue here is, lol. Okay, Mac, less of those kind of lols and hmms and things, because it's very hard to read them and it sounds stupid.
Yeah, just go the one grandpa and Coke, not the three.
One grandpa. But I do think it's a tough business being an air hostess.
It is so tough. Yeah. And I didn't bring this up to either shame or pity them.
No,
neither,
of course.
Neither one. Everyone's got
And there are lots
career.
Of people who want that job because cool. They are desperate to travel. Sure.
I just you know? And then I was trying, so I actually did speak to one of them.
Okay.
She was about to get another connecting flight and she looked like she just lost her dog. She was so tired. I just chatted to her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she just looked like she needed like a hug or a nap or both.
They make them wear those uniforms. It's got to be so uncomfortable.
Ghastly uniforms.
And then you have to serve people as well. And you know,
But then, okay, so I'm not going to name airlines here and be that guy. But Qantas, okay?
Yeah.
All the old trouts.
Oh, really?
So as I was leaving, the whole Qantas plane comes in and these women are all pushing 60 onwards, huh?
It's like in America, that's the case too.
Yeah.
United and American Airlines
also,
and Southwest.
Also got the older girls.
Do you know what happens though? I found out why. So apparently in America, I can't speak for Australia, but in America they have this rewards program where if you've done a certain number of hours, you get free flights for the rest of your life. So these older women who have, it's usually women, they've got a little way to go to get their miles for life, right? So they say, oh, well, I'll be an air hostess. And you could tell they don't want to be there. They've past the point where they're trying to be nice and serve people. In their 60s, some of these women shouldn't be working on planes. And really, they give you dirty looks if you ask for a water.
Well, the ones that I saw yesterday, they seem so chuffed with life.
Really?
I flew a Qantas. It's called Qantas, but you actually could pronounce it Qantas because there's no U. And these women, I mean, like pushing old, hey? You almost feel like, you know, should I get that next drink? Because, I mean... But like old ladies, and I think like okay, so do you get these young chicks?
Were they using the trolley to hold them up down the aisle?
So then you caught between these two things, right? Do you get these young chicks because you wanted to be like hip and all these kind of great things and attractive, or do you get the older girls who just know what to do? Like they just get it done.
I think this is true for more than just flying, Ben. You know, I mean, in life, you gotta weigh up your options. You know, either you get the young attractive ones who are eager to please but don't really know what they're doing. Or you get the old trouts who know their way around. They've been down that road.
Put it this way. If there were old trouts doing whatever, I could have watched Walking with Dinosaurs in peace last night. I would not have heard about any relationship turmoil, nothing. There would be no nattering in my galley. It would have been...
All right, the trouts. That's I didn't know that about Qantas. This is useful information. You and Roger Rex are filling my head with new info this morning.
You ever see a Qantas flight crew? They can tell you some stories as well.
Qantas hostesses are great, says Tracy. They have a bloody awesome sense of humor.
Well, yeah, because they've been around since silent comedy.
Tokolosh says they want to push up the retiring age to 70 in Australia. 70 for air hostesses or everybody?
Or maybe you get to a certain age where jet lag doesn't affect you and then they become like a real asset.
Bitcoin Butch wants to know, when they spill their drink on you, is it the turbulence or the Parkinson's? People are horrible. Deadhead does not just refer to the empty seat in the cockpit. Okay. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, the deadhead is like, obviously, they're trying to make a blowjob joke to you.
Oh, right. Okay.
With old woman.
Well, James got that straight away because he's on those pills.
We did, yeah.
Oh. By the way, if anybody has any advice for him, of course, we've got to give the email address. Maybe you want to help him out.
Also, James, can you take Grandpa and Coke and your boner pills? I'm pretty sure that would be a medical catastrophe waiting to happen.
I think you must be advised by a doctor before you try that.
I'm pretty sure if you
that.
Look at the terms and conditions on Grandpa, it says not with boner pills.
So did Roger really have his Grandpa and Coke here before he went on?
I didn't see that.
Wow. Okay.
But if you go into his car, you'll see a 1 liter Coke.
No, he swears by it.
Any time of the day.
All right. I once considered, says Judas, becoming an air hostess. It's not an easy industry to get into, especially if you want to serve on international flights. Yeah, exactly. So they can afford to be picky. The ladies in Qantas come in with so much authority. They don't take shit. You're not going to be looking for shit with them, and they get away with that sharp Aussie banter. Maybe that's why it's successful. You know?
Cool.
All right. Well, we're not criticizing them. My mom says she thinks you're on the money, says Max Sony. Again, I don't know. Is your mom a Qantas air hostess? I'm not sure.
His mom is Sylvia.
In fact, we've got a video of his mom here. Have you got that lady in the pink? That video that I showed you, we've got a little clip of her. This is Max Sony's mom. Take a look.
We must be intruding because you must have got a very tight schedule. You're very busy always, aren't you?
Yes, terribly.
Does it all begin here?
It all begins here in the morning when I'm not called till quarter to nine, actually, myself with my breakfast. But the dog is taken out at 8 and then the other one's taken out at 8:15. So you can imagine I'm awake. You know what I mean? Because they sleep with me.
They do?
Yes.
On your bed? On this
one sleeps on the bed when he doesn't sleep in the fireplace. He prefers the fireplace. It's cooler. This one has baskets, you see. And then, of course, I have my secretary up and we have all these massive letters. I do now have a separate secretary for my 10,000 health letters I do a year.
Because it's really got 10,000.
This is unpaid, unthanked. This is my pin.
That Jesus woman was basically the inspiration for Biggie Best in the 90s.
That is actually not Max Sony's mom. That is Barbara Cartland. And she broke two records for 2 years in a row of writing. I think she wrote 200 and something books in a year. I mean, they were paperback romance novels. But she was ahead of her time in some ways, Barbara Cartland. You could look her up. Fascinating woman. A lot of makeup, a lot of hairspray, a lot of pink. There's huge amounts of pink all over the place with her.
Just writing about cock novels all day.
Huh? All day.
She looks the type.
But she was very into chastity. She said women should save themselves for marriage.
Correct.
She said that girls were far too louche about sex and men were predatory and that they should watch out.
Correct.
She was saying this in the 70s, mind you, long before really social relations had deteriorated to the point that they are
and
now.
And she's right. If you call any chick a slut or a bicycle, they'll take offense to it because nobody wants to be known as that.
No.
So Barbara Cartland was right from the start. And I'll end on that.
Yeah, and basically all her novels, I've never read any, but apparently they all follow the script. There's this rich, sporty, smart guy, and then they're all these terrible women, and the one really great girl always wins the guy.
It's kind of life.
That's life.
Well,
right?
Look, the one good girl is that guy likes her. He'll use the rest.
Like air hostesses, I suppose. All right, very good. So that's excellent. We've had all our comments this morning. Let me just check on the rankings because we are doing this. So Bitcoin Butt back at number one. You know, now we can actually see who the
how does the ranking
highest
work?
I don't know how YouTube does this, but I'm gonna use it as the standard now, the gold standard. So at the end of the year, we'll let whoever comes up at number one tell us how to do the show. The one whole show will be decided by whoever comes up at number one. We've got Bitcoin Butt, Max Sony and his mom. Tokolosh is at number three, Durban Dope at number four, Mo Rabbit Vyasin is at number six, Judas then, Migs, and I'm afraid like some of these people embarrassing themselves far down the ranking, Mapello at 27, really, dropping out of favor. I mean,
okay, so the winner gets to produce the last show of the year.
Yeah, they tell us what to do. What to wear?
No, literally, like they sit in James's chair.
Yeah, exactly.
And they produce the last show. They get the guests,
and they get the boner pills for free as well.
And we'll pay you with a grandpa and coke.
There we go. That's how we're doing it.
Gareth, I need to get going.
Yeah, thank you,
Ben. I've had a good Friday.
Go. I've got lots to talk about. In fact, we've got two amazing guests coming in.
I was just saying goodbye. Never tell me to piss off. I mean, it's not like Leanne.
Piss off. Just get out of here. All right, so everybody knows the name David Higgs because he's a South African celebrity chef. He's a restaurateur. He's an entrepreneur. He began his culinary journey in 1990. He's the co-founder of Marble Hospitality Group, which includes standout establishments, Marble Saint, Zoo, The Pantry, And he's opening up places all over South Africa. So it's not just in Joburg anymore. We're also going to be joined by Dean Woodman, who is the managing director of Grid Worldwide in Cape Town. You'll remember last time we had Adam from Grid here. Adam was telling us because they were going to do the first ever luxurious marble circus. And now both of these gentlemen are involved in every way in all of this. Dean is, of course, also a marketing specialist in brand activations. He does all kinds of stuff as a presenter, host, voiceover actor, and public figure too. But I'm delighted to have you both here. So thanks for coming, guys.
Good to be here. Nice to see
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Nice to actually have you in the studio, David.
Yeah.
I bump into you on social media more than anywhere else.
No.
Right?
Oh, no. I love your. Oh. I wish I could post some of the things you post.
Listen, you're in business. You've got a very, very successful business going here. You are, I would say, probably the most famous South African chef that we've ever had. I think that's fair to say. Yeah, why not? Take the compliment, right? You agree?
No, I agree.
Yeah, Dean.
I agree.
Spot on.
Irrelevant.
No,
I would love to see these DMs. It must be.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it must. Everybody loves you. Come on. Yeah. You've done an incredible thing.
Other than myself.
You've made food. But you've made food sexy and interesting. You've created these venues that have become massive. I know it's not overnight. Nothing's overnight in South Africa. Nothing's overnight in any operation. But you've done really well.
Thanks,
so, I mean, take the bow.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, it's incredible. So,
but it's been Joburg, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, I got to Joburg 15 years ago. I was telling someone this the other day, you know, and my life has changed. This city has changed my life, and I love the city. And I will never move back to Cape Town. We've just opened a restaurant there. And
nobody says nice things about Joburg. Have you noticed this? I mean, you're from Cape Town.
So. I am from Cape Town.
Yeah, I'm also from Cape Town, you know, but I won't go back there. Yes.
It's a different lifestyle between the two cities. But you're 100% right. I mean, even me, 6 years in Joburg changes your business perspective, your network, the connections that you make, and the possibilities. I mean, this truly is, if you remember back in the day, they used to call it the city of gold.
Yeah.
That's truly what it is.
Yeah.
If you do it the right way, you can do fantastic things.
And the whole thing with that is that gives the city its energy, you know?
Absolutely.
The key word is energy with
Joburg.
It's always been about the gold rush.
All right.
And but
I do want to just, because otherwise we'll talk about how great Joburg is for hours. I know we can. And really, you're both in an interesting position to talk about this, because last time we discussed the event that we're going to talk about now, I had Greg and Adam here. And I've known Greg for years, does amazing events. He put on this thing. Joburg needed a really big, really exciting, really expensive, beautiful thing that people could look forward to. Because one thing we don't have is we don't have the views that Cape Town has. We don't necessarily have that international level of sexiness that Cape Town has. I mean, Durban's just a write-off. We can just throw that in the rubbish bin. But Joburg needed... You don't have to agree with me. you were both ominously silent. Maybe you loved Durban after all. Yeah. I used to love Durban, I'll be honest. But Joburg needed something, right? And these guys put this together. You were part of that from the very get-go. Both of you were. And I think it's been a tremendous success. But I went out for dinner with Greg the other night. And he said to me, are you coming this year? And I said to him, well, I mean, it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like maybe I'll give it a skip. And he looked at me. He said, you don't know how much more we're doing. Mm. And if you're not there, basically, I'll never talk to you again. So I went on that night and bought a ticket. But it does sound like it's evolving. And that's important, too, because people get bored. They get jaded.
Yep.
They think, oh, it's going to be the same. And trust me, like last year was spectacular. Everything about it was absolutely first rate. And you saw all the people you thought you would see and people you didn't think you'd see there. So it's really something else.
Yep.
Beautiful venue, beautiful food, beautiful people, just a great atmosphere. Everything was amazing. The entertainment was first rate. What are you guys doing differently this year? No pressure.
Yeah. No, listen. Okay, so from a food, you must understand that the marble hospitality has always really been about the food offering. And that's what I've just tried to make very clear with people that talk about the circus. You know, it's this incredible outdoor festival.
It must be very hard to do all of that.
Wow.
Because you've got thousands of people that you now have to feed.
Yep.
And it's not like a restaurant where you can control the process, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you even?
And we spoiled because we got a big central kitchen just behind the studio here, about a kilometer down the road. But you know Kelly. So Kelly Cronier runs the ground with Nikki and Robin. But you know she doesn't have those luxuries, and she's catering half this thing, you know, with us. So yeah, we're very fortunate that we have these kitchens. But you know, last year we worked so well together, ourselves on the ground, and we put on this spectacular. But the biggest thing is it needs to be safe. And as I said, from a food point of view, you know, that's really what the festival was centered around. You know, everybody keeps asking me what's the main act, but the main act is that the shows just keep coming. It's just more and more entertainment, and you don't quite know who's on stage next. And
right.
And I think that's also great. The biggest success of last year, let me just tell you, just to go back a step, was that every brand that was involved 100%.
Yeah, that's
they committed 100%.
That was a big difference, because normally you'll have festivals or you create something and people will come on as what we would always call them, sponsors.
Right.
These were not sponsors. They are still not sponsors.
Partners.
They literally are partners, because it's quite interesting in terms of how they've come on board and curated, and literally curated with us. Even us, from a marketing perspective, understanding the consumer's journey, it's important to understand what makes David and his team able to make great food and deliver great food at the right time to these clients.
Yeah.
And that's what we experienced last year. We understood, where do we get better? And that's exactly what we changed this year. So the more you are able to educate the consumer and the guest about what they are coming to and what they are going to experience, the better it is. Because the one thing we always know is, you say the festival starts at 12, people, I'll come half past 1, 2:30.
No, you want to be there the whole time.
You want to be there the whole time.
It's amazing also, and maybe, Dean, you're the right one to ask about this, because people say that they want exclusivity, they want value for money, they want something new and something different. But essentially, they'll be willing to pay whatever it costs for an experience they won't forget.
1,000.
And that's hard to create. I mean, obviously, you've got to put on entertainment. And I know that one of the things about this year is that there's huge diversity of entertainment. I mean, you've got Deep House, you've got Amapiano, you've got Afrobeats. There are local and international acts. There are people on stilts walking around. There are marching bands. There are theatrical displays. I mean, there's plenty to feast your eyes on. If you go there with a group of friends, I can guarantee you have the best time ever. But when it comes to food, David, this is where people get very people are impossible, right?
You have to tell me this.
These ones don't eat that. These ones don't eat this. This should have been deep fried. This should have been. I don't even understand any of this. I'm not a foodie at all.
Yeah.
And last year I loved the food, but I'm not the right guy to ask, because I wouldn't be able to tell. You could give me a what you would consider something very average, and I'd think it was great. So how do you decide what to feed these people?
Well, that's the beauty of the festival, is that we have the tents where we really showcase what Marble and Saint is.
Those are
about,
restaurants. You know?
Those are full-on restaurants. Trust me, you should have been in the back of us last year. That was a circus in itself.
I'm sure.
He wouldn't let me in.
Yeah.
So he's like, Dean, not now.
Did you go all Gordon Ramsay on people?
No, I went fucking really? Gordon Ramsay. Let me just tell you. Yeah, I lost my shit. But anyway, it happens. But so you have this more formal set. I wouldn't want to call it a formal setup, because nothing about the circus is formal. But you have this setup where you can sit down and have a meal and so forth. But for me, I only got to the playground on the Sunday afternoon, and then everybody I saw bought me a tequila, so I don't remember how I got back to the tent. But the, you know, then you have the playground, and the playground essentially is an offering of pantry items, and it's all the pantry favorites. It's burgers, it's a bit of Asian, there's some sushi, there's pizzas. A mate of mine, Trevor, is bringing the brisket and biscuits again, so smoked lamb shanks, and really it's so diverse in the offering on the playground that you can walk around and at a very reasonable price you can get a hell of an experience, you know.
It must be massive pressure. You've got to get all those things out at the same time. I know you've dealt with big events before, but this is going to be the biggest.
Yeah, 100%. Right?
There's nothing that comes close.
We're essentially feeding 10,000 people.
Jesus.
You know,
wow.
And I can tell you, I've got goosebumps, and the pressure for us starts on Monday, this coming Monday, because now we start with the build-up.
Is the worst part during the the actual, like, you're not enjoying this event at all because your blood pressure is sky high.
Tell my partners that.
I mean, so this is what people don't understand. You're working your hardest while everyone else is enjoying themselves. And you said you only got to see things on the Sunday after everyone had finished eating. But what is the most unbelievably cool part of this? Because you're doing it again, so it must have worked.
It's always,
and you must have enjoyed it. There must have been something in it that was like, this is great. And then there must be something in it that you're like, oh, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
What are those?
Well, the best part is, the worst part is the first hour, because you don't quite know how these events are going to work. Mm. You don't know what's going to go wrong, and it always goes wrong in the first hour. It doesn't fall apart, you know, 5 hours in. It falls apart in the first hour because you've forgotten
no matter
to think
what
about
testing
something.
You've done. No matter what testing you've done, something comes.
Yeah,
It always does.
So that's the worst part of it. The most rewarding part is at the end of the day when you've served that last meal, and the accolades start coming. You know, the guys say, they walk into the kitchen. They say, "Yes, guys, I don't know how you did that,
first class.
Just unbelievable." And that makes it all worthwhile. And it's so lekker when your team is with you and they get to hear that feedback, you know, because we're not hiding anywhere. We're there, we're in the open, and that really is the, when you pull something like that off, and everybody's happy, you know, there's always going to be, you know, there's always
listen, I want to talk to you more generally in a moment about
the
restaurants, because that, people think it's a very glamorous and exciting business. And, you know, I meet people all the time who are foodies who have this dream of like opening up their own place and making food for people and really, you know, like putting on a great show and people will have the best taste experience of their lives. And the reality of the restaurant world, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it from people who have done this, probably not at your level, but have tried because it was something that they were really, really excited about. They love food. It's hard, man. The margins are slim. You have to get your supplies exactly right. It's logistics more than anything else, right?
The worst of it is that, not the worst of it is, but the most challenging of it is that you have to be there 24 hours a day.
Oof. You know, you've got to be in the shop.
You cannot walk away from it, especially if it's small business. You know, large business for us, the large format restaurants, it has changed slightly. But if you're running a small business and you're not there, you got no chance, I can tell you. It's such a personable thing. It's such a you are forming relationships.
Do people expect you even now to be there?
Absolutely.
So how do you manage? Because you've got five places, including Cape Town now, that you have to be in.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you satisfy those people who are like, oh, because it's important for them. Oh, David came over and said hello.
I mean, look, I mean, that is the challenge. The most important thing for me, I've managed to slowly but surely try and separate myself from that because I can't be every, and I have to accept that. It's very difficult.
But no, I'm sure.
But I have to accept that. The most important thing for me is to be sure that I'm in the shops every day, so whether I'm there during the day or there at night, for the team. Because the team is what you need to hold together. You can't find chefs anymore. You can't find restaurant
managers.
Is
that a problem?
Jeez, my friend. The hardest thing about opening all these restaurants that we're doing in there is to find a team that works with you. Yes, it's almost impossible. And we are okay in South Africa.
Is that experience or
people just don't want to work the hours.
They don't want to work.
Exactly. Not even the hours. People just don't want to work.
So, I mean, I'm often very critical of Gen Z and the millennials because I think that a lot of them aren't actually happy to – they don't want to work. They think work's a punishment.
Yeah.
I know this is a generalization because someone in the comments is going to give me shit about this now. But this is a real problem. It is hard in a kitchen and it is hard to – be a waiter, and it is these are not fun, glamorous jobs, and a lot of it is slog. You're on your feet the whole time. It's exhausting. It's hot, then it's cold, then it's irritating customers, and those are real problems that you have to deal with. And yes, it can be a huge success along the way, and you've done this with all of the places that you've been involved in, and they continue to be successful. But it's not. It's if you really want to get ahead, you've got to be prepared to work. So if people aren't going to do that.
No.
That's on you.
And you have to be prepared to put up with whatever comes your way. You know, everybody's a food critic now. I mean, the social media for us has become a nightmare over the last 10 years.
How do you handle that?
Well, I don't. I just... there's other people that do all that. But I have to ignore it because I don't mind criticism. I mean, none of us mind constructive criticism. But don't tell me, don't give me opinion. You know?
Okay, so give me an example of constructive criticism. Let's say I go to Saint and I have something that I'm not entirely thrilled with. How would I position that you would consider it constructive criticism?
Call me over in the restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Deal with it in the restaurant.
Right.
Mm. You know, give me a chance to say,
don't be a poodle behind the fence.
Or this is why it's like that or whatever. So give me an opportunity to fix it. Mm. Because we do make mistakes. We're not machines, no. You know, and we're serving a lot of people every day. And then if I'm not there or there's no one there that you feel that you can talk to, then you send me a mail and just say, listen, guys, I don't think this is fair. Give me an opportunity to respond. And if I don't respond accordingly, then have a full go, you know?
Yeah, but if to go straight to social media and start bitching and moaning, yeah, this is not constructive. You were saying like a poodle behind a fence, totally. Right, Dean?
You get it all the time. And it's the digital world. People feel that they have a voice and they're able to use that voice when they're behind that lens and that phone. But the moment you speak to them face to face, it's exactly chalk and cheese.
Yeah, I'm also interested in how you handle that when it comes to brands. We were talking about this morning and they're all looking for authenticity and being real and connecting with their customers. And whether it's a restaurant or like, you know, Roger was here just now, works in a paint shop. There are going to be better and worse ways of dealing with people. 100%. And people, that's essentially the business we're all in.
Yep.
Whatever you do, service or product, you're dealing with people. And mostly people just want to be treated honestly.
Yep.
Great. And I think a lot of brands, I don't know if you agree with me on this, Dean, but a lot of brands are getting that wrong because they're trying to smoke and mirrors their way out of what is essentially a bad relationship.
You know, you're hitting on something that myself and Adam... We call it out all the time.
Yeah.
We say, back about good 15 years ago, the culture narrative was controlled by brands.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan and Nike. Yeah. Everybody wanted to follow that. Just Milk came out, was the biggest ad you ever had with having some milk on the upper lip.
Right.
Now, with social media and the fact that I'm able to control what I see, how I see it, who I believe in, who I follow, are you... credentials good enough? Do you have sustainability, a big thing right now? What do you stand for?
Values.
Exactly. And that is about playing in culture. And brands have lost that right. Now, what you see with the circus and how it's been approached, and David and Craig, they've literally listened to what the consumer wants. Yeah. Right? It started out as a great idea by Dino yourself going to go for wild things to put I'll never forget it. The brief came in, we're going taking fine dining outdoors. I was like, what? Yeah. And you know, a food and musical spectacle that you'll never get. Who are we gonna get to sponsor us even? And it changed. I'll never forget the conversation. It's not about sponsors, it's who believes in what we are wanting to do inside South Africa and in the culture.
Create something that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You've got to build something where there was nothing.
Totally. Yeah. And see, that is what people are not doing. Sorry. They're not doing that right now. And that's what you've been successfully been able to do, even with Pantry. What a success.
Oh, man.
Hey? What a success. And now, all of a sudden, you combine Pantry with a music and food spectacular, but you have partners that come on board like Investec. I would never have thought they'd be as wild as what they are with us.
I heard there were a lot of other, let's call them financial institutions, who felt very left out when they when they saw what was going on there. But tell me, you brought up Pantry.
Yes.
And that's been an incredible story as well. Was that all your idea?
So, well, not my idea. So how this happened was that it was a lockdown baby. You know, we felt very exposed with restaurants. We were, you know, we're all our eggs in one basket, essentially. Sure. And we had this petrol station downstairs that had been standing empty for a couple of years. It was a real eyesore to the building.
Mm.
Gary and Dino both been in the petrol station business, and I was in industrial catering. So used to make all Nando's desserts, Woolworths desserts, you know, all that kind of thing years ago. And we just thought, geez, okay, guys, we have an opportunity here. It's a bit of an iconic spot if you think back in the day. And the kicker for me was just before that closed down, there was a horrific petrol station there, very dirty. And in the back of it, there was a Seattle coffee guy. I don't know if you remember it. It was in the back of this
thing. I actually do.
It was the weirdest thing. You know that those guys were turning 300,000 rand a month in coffee out of that.
So I mean, like, location-wise, you then
right
have
spot.
It was a no-brainer. It was honestly a no-brainer, and you know, we're about to open. Hazelwood on the 1st of November, and then we get down to the south, Giroj.
The south.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about the south after listening to that conversation.
He made me equally curious and excited and terribly afraid.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have Grandpa on the shelf.
Listen, you must know Pantry's working. If every time I come up to Joburg, I have to go to Panty to get my son something.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The brand has spread to Cape Town.
100%. It's about the focaccia bread or a pizza. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I'm on a 2-hour plane with a pizza.
Yeah.
But he wants it, and once again, it comes down to the small things: the presentation, the branding. It's all design thinking, design led with food and artisanal.
But it's followed up a good product.
Totally.
You know,
and
you
that's
see,
together,
and authenticity.
Together.
So Gareth, I just want to say this. You know, the Marble is 10 years old next year, you know. And what we've managed to do is to build relationships with
10
people.
10 years already.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
But we've managed to build relationships with them. So Grid is the first people that obviously believed in Gary's vision, and that's where this whole thing started. The circus is Dino's vision with Greg, you know. But we have to back it up with good service, with good food. Otherwise it's these empty promises.
Exactly.
It's a brand with all this bang, but no substance. You know, and the fact that our guests can talk to us every single day, that they are in touch with the owners, because we are on the floor. Myself, Gary and Dino are there every single day.
That's true.
They can talk to us. So that's where the relationship starts.
Yeah, that matters. Just by the way, Congo Chris says here in the comments, what people don't understand is that chefing is a 16-hour job.
Mm.
I mean, that sounds horrific. That leaves you like an hour and a half of sleep.
Yeah.
maybe you have a wife.
Well, you don't
maybe
sleep.
You have a friend. Maybe you have a friend or two. You get to see them every 6 months. There we go. So I think he's speaking with some experience there. Judas says in the comments, I would like to go to the luxurious Marble Circus, but I don't have anyone to go with. Where? She says, my regular friends are broke this time of year. Boo-hoo, I know. I will better plan this next year. Yeah, you got to – these sort of things, and I think that's also part of the charm of what happens with these one-of-a-kind events on an annual basis is people go, that's the – if I'm going to choose anything, this is what I'm going
to
go for. Because also, I think people – generally, although there are lots of South Africans, and particularly the ones who go to this event who are not concerned about this, but lots of people are like, I've only got this much to spend. I'm going to make it count. I'm going to go to something that really is the best kind of experience I can have. So, yeah, it takes some planning.
Yeah. It does.
It does. And I hear what you say. I hear that you think it's expensive, but the nice thing about the circus, there's options. And for 1,000 rand, you can come through the gate, okay, and then buy a burger for 100 rand.
Yeah.
A really, really good burger.
You know,
like, and yes, it's expensive to some people. But come on, man.
No, but I also think there's something in our heads. We know this, but the guys from Freakonomics told us this years ago. You'll remember, Dean. Like if something is free or it's cheap, you think it's probably cuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
We also have this idea
you gotta balance
that if you don't pay, and I mean, this is why people buy... Yeah. Louis Vuitton suitcases.
Totally.
It's not necessarily that the thing is made of better leather or that it's going to last longer or any of that cuck. It's because everyone else pays a lot for it and you must pay a lot for it. And it feels like, look, I work hard.
But it's a perception thing. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
You could put the same product in front of a consumer and the one could be 100 rand and the other 1,000. Automatically, even if it's the same color, there's something better in the 1,000 rand product. That's why it's 1,000 rand.
David, you know this happens with wine, right?
Jeez, properly.
I mean, wine is just
marketing.
It's unbelievable. And I've spoken to some of the people who are they understand this stuff. They are experts in everything to do with wine, and they've told me it's the label, it's the price. People go, this must be a good wine. It costs so much money. If you did a blind taste test, they probably, with a few exceptions, there are those people who just have a nose for these things or whatever. Yeah. But most people would go, can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's not like that with food, though.
No, it's not. And I think that's where Marble came into play way back. And I was very specific about this when Gary and myself chatted about this initially and everything else. And it's giving people the perception of value, not perception, but the value for money. So when you serve a guy a steak, you know, give him the steak, we were saying like, should we just put the steak and then charge for all the extras? No, we give him a complete meal. It looks robust. It looks like value for money, and we can charge for that. It's been cooked properly. It tastes good, and there's a lot to be said for that. You know,
if you give me a properly cooked steak, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
That I'll worry about the bill when it comes.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever I have to do. There's something. I think it's very South African too that meat is at the center of everything.
Yeah.
Is that still the case? Because with all these people talking about veganism and vegetarianism, and then you do have now the reaction of the carnivore diet people and everything else. Have you noticed a change in 10 years?
So such an interesting topic. There is no change. In fact, it's just getting more and more. It's ridiculous.
Take that, vegans.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, I have some haters, I can tell you. But it's 75% of what we sell is meat. 75% as a figure, you know.
Right.
I mean there's no but anyway, so that's that. There's nothing more to be said.
I don't know a lot about how it goes behind the scenes, but I assume where you get your supplies from is massively important to you.
Massively important, very difficult.
Difficult, right? Because maybe they can only produce so much and you need so much.
Exactly.
Maybe it's transport and logistics. Maybe you've ordered too little. These things are complicated. And obviously over 10 years of...
Yeah.
I cannot believe it's been 10 years of...
Can you believe it?
I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
How do you source the stuff and how well have you got that down to a finely tuned instrument?
We have 7 meat suppliers, 7 only, 5 vegetable suppliers, 6, I can carry on. I mean, the list carries on. And it's literally all you're doing every day is negotiating with people. Do you have stock? Has it been matured properly? So we've overcome the maturing thing. So we've built our kitchens and we mature everything on site. So we buy it in, we know exactly where we stand with the product. And that's very important because a piece of meat is not like a bottle of wine. If a bottle of wine is corked, you send it back, you get your money back and so forth. Piece of meat, it's all on you. You have to trust your supplier. And the day of the butcher is gone. You know, there was the farmer, the butcher, the chef.
Yeah.
The butcher doesn't exist anymore. There's a hacker. There's a couple of hackers around.
This saddens me. It's one of the things we've lost that I think is valuable.
Absolutely.
You used to go there and you'd say to the guy, I want 5 of these steaks or I need some of your biltong or whatever. And the guy was your guy. You knew his name. It sounds like we're being very nostalgic here, but that stuff was awesome.
It was amazing.
You know, you could get like bespoke cuts of meat.
Yeah. I mean, there are still a couple of guys around, but not. Yeah. It's just doesn't exist.
Not to the level that it used to be.
It used to be like a corner cafe. You know, you have to butcher, your fishmonger, everybody was there and you could. And unfortunately, that's all gone. But it's every day is a challenge, Gareth. And the prices just, they fluctuate. I mean, you don't know where you stand from one day to the next. And that's where systems become very, very important because you can't sit and check that stuff every day. So you need to be flagged, you know.
Right.
Because otherwise you're not making any money. That's the next thing.
Well, because making money.
Because the margins are so fine. Yeah.
No, but let's also not be stupid about this. No one goes into business to run an NGO and run at a loss.
No.
If you are, you shouldn't be in business.
Not when you're working 16 hours a day, I can tell you that much.
Exactly. So what kind of feedback do you get from people about pricing? I mean, I see Bitcoin Butt here saying, I went on the Marble website because I want to plan on going there soon. 4,000 Rand for a Wagyu steak, he says.
Oh,
okay, but explain that to me. talk to me.
So we had this when we opened Cape Town, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, we got flack.
I know.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is you can go there and eat a 4,000 Rand steak. That's the beauty of Marble. And you can drink a 12,000 Rand. You can drink a 120,000 Rand bottle of wine. But you can also come to Marble.
That's correct.
And have an incredible ribeye, okay, for 350, 395 Rand, a glass of wine, of the best wine, for maybe 200 Rand, and walk out there very satisfied.
Right.
You don't have to have a starter or a dessert.
Right.
Because there's enough on the plate and walk out for 500 or 600 rand.
What was that thing? I met Greg there one night and he'd ordered, there was some fish that you guys had sourced from Japan or something.
Yeah, the cod. Yeah.
What was that?
Black cod, yeah.
And this thing arrived, like this little strip of, I mean, it was magnificent. I've never tasted anything like it before.
But yeah, it's
What are your, like, what are the most amazing things that, because you must be a little bit bored or jaded about food some of the time. What do you like to eat?
Gareth, so let's just start with the whole this fine dining fad and the multiple courses, laborious, yeah. Terrible to sit down. There's guys at the table all the time.
I blame the
interrupting.
French.
Yeah.
You blame the French.
Well, the Americans were quite good at that as well. But you know, we've forgotten, I've often say this, you've forgotten the art of eating out. You know, come out, have a good time, have a conversation. You haven't got this waiter interrupting you all the time and wanting now to explain that this cauliflower's from Outer Mongolia and you know it's freaking gray and like we're not, you know, we've gone past that. People really work hard for their money, so when they come out they want to have a good time, and that's the big difference between Marble and Cape Town and Joburg, is that you'll see like the businessmen come out and they order the big meals and everything, they have the meetings, but then they drink tequila. You know, Cape Town, that doesn't happen.
No.
It's the Joburg Oaks that come down there and order the bottles of tequila and everything else. So, you know, it's still quite refined down there. So the bottom line is that when people come out, they want to have a good time, and you got to give them a good time. And I can't sit through that, even myself. Give me a really good piece of fish, really good piece of meat, one course. I don't need three or four courses. A lacquer bottle of wine, if it is that, or a nice whiskey. Roger, I'm with you there.
Yeah,
and I'm more than happy.
But that ideology and idea has also been taken over to the circus. If you think about it, you're taking fine dining out to the outdoors, but at the same time, like you said earlier, for 970, and I did the exact same thing. Saturday was crazy. I was carnage. I was all over.
Yeah.
I did like 77,000 steps. Sunday was the first time I made it into Pantry in the Field, where all the different meals were that you could buy. And I was blown away by the various food I could eat.
And the level of quality.
And the level of quality.
Yeah.
So then I was there and I was just like, I took my hour break.
Yeah.
To say to Greg and Adam, I'm taking an hour break.
I'm out.
And I just sat there and enjoyed some good food.
Yeah.
And the most important thing I think that people need to understand about the circus is that there is something for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, last year, what I saw was unbelievable. If you were in the Royal Lounge, you were in the Royal Lounge, right? If there was somebody in the tasting stations, they were there and they were vibing and having the time of their life. So literally, you've got 75,000 square meters, greatest food, greatest audience, greatest moments, greatest activations. That's all been curated to be whimsical.
Yeah.
And you've paid 970 to be there
but that
for 12 hours. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can literally not even be buying continuously, but experiencing great moments. And
wasn't this the thing last year as well? People said, the Savannah, the speakeasy, we didn't even see that.
Yes.
There were things that people didn't even freaking know
and
were
now
there.
More.
It's a, so I heard there's going to be like a Ferris wheel.
100%. Wheel
there's,
of wonder. Yes.
There's plenty of stuff going on.
And gee, you know.
Guys, is the hot air balloon there or not?
No.
It's in the ads. It's in the social media.
Just
stuff.
Say,
you
know,
you just wanted the hot air balloon. I know why you want it, so you can get in and get out. So you can get away from
and
there.
Watch.
Yeah. It was one of the, it was either the hot air balloon or the wheel of wonder. But I think what
Greg,
we've
I'm
done is, and it's really cool, this, when it started in with LMC, as we call it, for 2025, we took the curation from the guests that were there.
Yeah.
Because what was amazing to see is the people that dressed up
for
the luxurious marble circus.
Yeah.
And as the team were looking at it, and this is where Nathan and them just blew my brain once again, they were like, words can't describe what happened last year, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we make our own words? Like, what?
Yeah, I noticed that they've their and words then, that's
yeah.
Roger was confused when we were talking earlier because he's from the south and he sounds different. You guys have made up complete words, so it's a whole different
complete
language.
Words. But what it's allowed the partners to do as well is how they activate has taken those words into account. So all of a sudden, you've got La Volta Spectaculum, which is literally trampoline artists with DJs combined. In one section
Jesus.
For 12 hours.
Okay.
Right? Then you've
I didn't
got,
know about that.
Yeah, you don't. I know because I'm obviously having to do all of these things. And then, I mean, you've got, You've got Savannah doing the dry district this time, you know, and they've come up with a totally new idea. Yeah. You've got
amazing.
You've got the tasting stations taking on a whole different type of activation. And then on top of it, because we saw what people wore, we've taken that and we've taken it into our own range.
Oh, wow.
So now you've got luxurious marble circus apparel. Yeah. And we built in an emporium.
Proper.
That's very cool.
I think the other thing that David is very strong on it, Adam's very strong on it, Greg's very strong on it, was the sustainability of the circus, right? And the partners came on as well. Investec strongly came on, and all our other partners had come on. And it's literally about, great, we're doing this, but how are we adding back to our country, and how are we adding back to the people that make this possible?
Yeah, but people talk a lot of shit about that. What do you mean?
So, for example,
they always say sustainability, because it's a thing on a corporate checklist of cuck that they have to do.
So what you will see is there's upcycled material. So all the Don Julio bottles, some of them that we had of last year, they've been changed into an item you can purchase this year.
Okay.
So it's
you're reworking old stuff, recycling it into something
new. We recycled. We took all the cans of last year. We've gone to the varsity students, and they've actually started to make some art pieces that you will be able to purchase there as well.
Okay.
And we've invested in Holonati quite strongly in terms of feeding back the community. There was a couple of, I can't get it right now, in grounds, but there's where they have agriculture and they farm on the lands. And what we've done is we've reinvested in there and bought the produce from there as well. So you've got, basically creating what we would call sustainability cycle. So between LMC, what you put in and what you get out, we're getting that circle going. And
that sounds real.
For me, I was amazed. Our fence panels of last year, we were Sealand. We've taken those and we've recycled them and we've made...
Listen, I was blown away because I've been to ground a lot of times, and just the fact that this was built on top of vineyards and on top of that trees. It's phenomenal. You got this place that it's a city that comes up out of the ground.
Yeah.
And then the place looks normal again afterwards. Yeah. So you're not damaging anything or breaking anything, and the place is beautiful to start off with.
Exactly.
But it just transforms into this carnival, effectively. One quick thing here from Wendy. Wendy says, David's dragon back hairstyle, so cool. That's is that what you're going for here? Dragon back?
I've never heard of that.
Fuck, I don't know.
That's the first time I heard of it.
Thanks, Wendy. That's quite, from your picture, that's quite a statement. Dragon back.
Yeah. Well, that's what she calls it. Maybe it's true.
Thanks, Wendy.
Maybe that's what it is.
I'm allowed to say that.
You don't have to. Sorry, could be rude to Wendy if you want.
No, I'm not being rude, Wendy. I'm just anyway.
Yeah. She might be talking complete shit.
Yeah. I don't know. What is it?
I don't know.
Can you see?
Do you
it's
ask
like a mohawk.
Them? Listen.
It's a mohawk.
Let me ask you both. When you go for a haircut, do you tell the hairdresser, the stylist, the person with the fucking scissors, do you tell them what to do? Or you just say...
No, I tell them what to do.
You tell them what to do.
You're damn
I just tell them to just tidy it up.
Must have the same guy for
I haven't. I'm so disloyal.
What?
Promise you.
Never.
It's such an interesting about
for the last For the last three haircuts I've had, I went to the same woman, someone called Fatima. She's from Nigeria. She's fucking awesome. She's great. And you know what? She knows when I want to talk, and she knows when, like, just leave this guy alone. He's exhausted, or he's bored, or he's stupid.
He's broken the algorithm.
No, that's it. So she's been for three, but like that's the longest streak I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
You have the same person?
No.
No. So, also, you're disloyal.
So I am disloyal.
It's insane, guys. I've got the same person in Joburg and the same person in Cape Town. For the last year. The last year.
Yeah, for a couple of times, definitely. Yeah. But then
if they fuck up, and then I change.
Yeah.
And I only know I need a haircut when it takes me more than a minute and a half after I get out of the shower. Then I'm like, okay, it's time for a haircut.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
When I'm feeling flat, I love a haircut.
Oh, really?
Then I go, I don't even care what this
is.
But
do you go to some fancy place that give you the head massage and all that shit as well?
Sometimes. It depends where I am. It's also that disloyal thing.
This is important.
I mean, those Turkish guys that slap you around.
I was just about to say the Turkish guys.
For next year's LMC, you have a little place where they give you
I wouldn't even joke about it. We were really we were thinking about all of those things. We were thinking of
Serenity
stations, makeup.
We've got ideas, man.
Yeah, I'll take them.
It was. I mean, like one last thing. I'm not trying to. If you haven't got tickets, I don't even know if there are any still available. But I thought it would be interesting to talk about this. It has become the event in Johannesburg, and what I was blown away by, and maybe you guys can also comment on this because it took me completely by surprise, is people did dress up. They yes. loved the excuse, especially the girls, obviously, but they loved the excuse to be able to do makeup, hair, the outfits, the shoes, the, you know, it was a whole thing. And to me, if you give people the excuse to make themselves really go to town, because you, it's a 10 out of 10 or a 0 out of 10 situation. Yeah. If you don't dress up at all, you're going to feel lame. And if you are going to do it, don't do a half. Don't just put on a stupid hat. Or
no, they go full.
You've got to go with the whole outfit. You've got to think about everything, because otherwise it's going to feel like you've only really filled up the tank halfway.
And if you look at events, and I remember the days of the JMB Met and all these things where they
people used to really take trouble.
But there are no events where you dress up anymore.
Not anymore, no.
You know, really, I mean.
A few in Cape Town, you got just a few of them.
But not to the grand scale.
Not a lot.
You know?
No, not a lot. No. And those are still horse racing events that they do.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Mick says he tends to fall asleep while he's getting a haircut.
Yeah, yeah. I saw.
Spot on.
I'm with you.
I am that's why I go right there.
That's where I go.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. All the best. And listen, congratulations on the success that you've had, David. It's all so deserved. And I know how hard you work. And you're a totally consistent guy. Whether I bump into you somewhere in town or whether you're busy at work and I happen to be there with people, you're always the same. It's lovely to know that. You know, you're out there as an ambassador of Joburg as well.
Yeah,
because absolutely. We need all the help we can get here in Joburg, right? and Dean, even though you're from Cape Town, we're very happy you're up here for this and for all the other things that you've been doing with Nathan and Adam and the team. And thank you guys for putting on a great show for us this year.
Thanks, mate.
It's G. Thanks
sure so much. It's going to be terrific. All right, we're going to wrap it up and we will see you on Friday next week. Have an awesome weekend and be good if you're not take photos. Ciao, everybody. Bye.